Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We anticipate, according to him, and according to most of our guests over the past week and some change, very muted cut in interest rates up on the 19th of September, maybe a 25 basis point cut, albeit that a hard landing is increasingly the expectation on the United States FOMC front. I would definitely argue that Jerome Powell is more of the dove than Lizzie Jokanyago and our monetary policy committee here in South Africa, and I guess the imminent risks on the economic front are much more prevalent. That said, albeit that it might be a 25 basis point, as you heard from Mike, where we expect a little bit more easing into the end of the year, maybe further 50 basis points by December, and that is already beginning to augur well for some of our stocks. One of those that is no doubt going to benefit to some extent from this is ATTACC, the REIT that delivered pretty strong year-end results for the year ending June 2024. Raj Nana is the Chief Financial Officer of ATTACC and joins me now. Raj, welcome to Kaya Biz and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Indeed. Tell us, what were some of the key drivers for ATTACC being able to deliver a double-digit and really healthy, to almost 20% growth in dividend per share?
Yeah, I think it's really us delivering against the strategy that we set a couple of years ago, focusing on fundamentals. And then probably the sort of key factor was the transaction that we closed during the course of the financial year in October last year, where we sold 30% of Waterfall City to the GPF, and we use all of those proceeds to pay down debt. And if you see the impact of that, obviously, you've just mentioned interest rates in a high interest rate environment that have interest rate to the bottom line and had a material impact on distributable income. But we've also got very strong quality assets, and Mall of Africa continues to deliver substantial growth in the rest of our regional shopping centers spread around the country, like Gardenwood Mall and Ekstad Mall and Moira Fear Mall, all performed really well. So turnover rentals were up. Our solar PV panels contributed to the net operating income, et cetera. So a number of factors, but by far, some deal making and some reallocation of capital, which made all the difference.
Absolutely, particularly on the leverage front. Now, talk to us a little bit about occupancies. These have been really strong, increasing to almost 93%, and collections remain consistent. Is that a snapshot of your operational efficiency, or could you also attribute some of that to better operating conditions in general for your clientele?
Yeah, I think we're fortunate, especially within Waterfall City. It's a smart, safe, sustainable city. And what we do there is we manage to attract both, top-notch local and international clients. So we filled up roughly 8,500 square meters of vacant space during the year. And our retail center is performing really well. I think at Mall of Africa, we probably have about a 1% vacancy factor, which is substantially low. The 93% that you quote includes two small distribution centers or warehouses that we completed in May, just before the year end, which still need to be let. So I think the market is certainly turning. We've seen that through higher market-related rentals. We've seen that through various sort of vacancy indicators trending down. I think 8 quarters in succession that it's been coming down. But I think having strong assets in the right nodes, you benefit more from that, and we've seen that come through the portfolio.
Speaking of the right nodes, just take us through the binding agreement to dispose of the rest of Africa assets in the retail space.
Yeah, so our rest of Africa investments in Ghana and Nigeria have been long on our sort of disposal strategy, part of our disposal strategy rather, and we concluded just after year-end a binding sale agreement for both portfolios, the one in Ghana and the single asset that we co-own in Nigeria with Lango, which owns a number of assets spread around Africa. We're looking to close both those transactions before the end of November, so we're moving quite quickly with that. And like I said, it's been a long-time disposal strategy for us. We were looking to exit Africa some time ago. and glad that we've managed to conclude the transaction and then really focus on our South African assets and, you know, in Waterfall City from a development perspective.
All right. Just help me a little bit more on that, on the Ghana Nigeria, and apologies if I missed that. So is this a call in general on XSA or specifically on those assets?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we entered Africa, you know, some sort of 19 years ago and had a strategy of developing assets and acquiring assets. You know, Africa has been sort of a mixed bag of results for us. A lot of the South African retailers that were also, you know, very keen on the rest of Africa have also, you know, changed their strategies and focused more on South Africa as well. And you've got economies that are quite dependent on commodities, et cetera. And so for us, you know, we've decided some time ago to focus both our resources from a time and capital allocation perspective back in South Africa. And so really a decision taken some time ago and effectively just being implemented this year.
We've spoken a little bit about the retail spaces. Let's talk about your logistics hubs. What are you seeing in terms of activity there?
Yeah, so I think one of the sectors that have been more buoyant over the last sort of 2 to 3 years, we've seen very good market rental growth and supported by strong demand relative to supply. Very excited that we've got an attractive land that we refer to Waterfall Junction that we've been working on to get ready from an infrastructure servicing perspective. And we've got great news today that the water connection that we've been waiting for some time for has come through. So within the next couple of months, we should have all of our approvals in place and we'll start actively marketing Waterfall Junction as a premier logistics node that can do distribution centers, warehouses, and potentially also data centers in the future. So an exciting sort of story for us. Again, you know, fueled by online retail and a focus on high technology based, warehouses, you know, very much automated, etc. And it's been good for us for the last couple of years, but we've run out of logistics land, and so very excited about the 300,000 square meters of bulk that we'll be developing there. So the portfolio performing really well, the completed portfolio that we've already got. But like I said, more excited about, you know, what we can achieve in the next sort of 3 to 5 years from a development perspective.
Let's talk about that a little bit, Raj. You know, one of the things that's obviously hitting headlines a great deal is the complexity of development of property, whether it be your logistics, residential, retail. Do you have a view as an operator in the space that you might be able to share with listeners, other people who may be facing the construction industry, on the threat of extortion rackets? And has that affected your business in any way, either on timing or cost, whether it be for security or allaying their attention?
Yeah, I mean, maybe before specifically talking about extortion rackets, I think as a developer in South Africa, you face a number of challenges, and part of that is, you know, navigating local councils and municipalities to get the right approvals and, you know, sign us from a power and water perspective, and that's becoming increasingly more challenging. And hence us being so excited about, you know, nearing the end of our road from that perspective on this new, you know, tract of land that we're looking to develop. So that's been a fairly big challenge for most developers. And we're sort of coming more and more to the party as private developers. We're, you know, investing more in infrastructure that local councils should be investing in themselves to make sure that we can get the proper allocations of power and electricity and so forth to get our developments off the ground. And so it comes at a cost. And that's why, you know, I suppose the hurdle to big developments is becoming higher and higher. But you raise a good point around, you know, extortion rackets, et cetera. I mean, some of the other provinces like KZN and even parts of Western Cape, you know, that has been a huge challenge in Gauteng as well. And we try to work with local forums, you know, local communities where there's a bona fide, you know, need to create jobs and sort of source this skills from locals. And we do that with great success. But there has been certain instances where we, you know, have encountered sort of, you know, more malicious type groups that are looking to you know, be allocated part of contracts, you know, and not necessarily always have the skill, but and also use, you know, certain tactics to influence your decision and sometimes bullying into those sort of scenarios. Unfortunately for us, it's been sort of, not too material, and we're always cognizant of the security concerns that come with it, and we'll always beef up security on site to make sure everyone involved in the development is kept safe. And sometimes it results in delays, but that I suppose is the challenges developers we face, but we navigate it as best as we can.
And it shows in your results. Raj, thank you so much for joining us. Raj Nana is the Chief Financial Officer of ATTAC. Check out a little bit more on that read.
And if you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.